Lord Jesus, we honor you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you're here. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll be centered in this session, in this time. Lord, we pray for wisdom and revelation. We pray for understanding. Lord, we pray that, yes, your presence is at the center of everything that we do and say, Lord. That you give us insight and a passion and a desire to pursue your face and pursue your presence. And Lord, we thank you for everything that you're about to do. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I want to just quickly give a little introduction of who I am for those who have never heard me speak. My name is Kevin. Kevin Kasemi, as you might hear, I'm not sounding English. I'm a native Iranian, born in Iran, raised up in Sweden, and I'm married to my wonderful Dutch wife. I said, "You sure you want to be here listening to me? There's so many other workshops you can go to." She said, "I'd rather be here listening to you." I said, "But you hear me all the time." But she want to be anyways. We have three beautiful children together, two girls and a little son, and we're actually missionaries here to the U.S. So, we lived in Cape Town, South Africa. That's when I met you the first time. And then after that, we transitioned to the U.S. And we planted a church about 5 years ago in Canton, Ohio. So we moved from Cape Town to Canton. And it was definitely a shift and transition culturally. And we were not used to the culture, neither were we used to the church culture in the environment that God brought us. But we believe that no matter who you are, whatever you come from, nationality or, you know, social status, we believe there's a language in the kingdom called the presence of God. And I believe everyone can speak that language. So kind of a little bit about our journey. We lived in South Africa and worked there and was part of an amazing church. And we loved the church family because our pastor was considered charismatic, but one thing that we learned in our services was that they always wanted the presence of God to be at the center of everything that they were doing. So whether that was in fellowship, worship, what it was in different sessions or gatherings that they had, it was all centered around the presence of God. And we noticed that when they put the presence of God at the center, that the gifts of the Spirit used to flow. It was a flow of the gift of the Spirit. People received deliverance and healing and freedom. Worship was very much part of our church culture. So we were kind of raised up in an environment. And of course, naturally, we always have been pursuer of God's presence, loved, you know, being around the presence of God and just lovers of Jesus. But we transitioned to the U.S. and we find ourselves in a different context and we find ourselves in a different culture. Now, where we come from in Canton, Ohio, you know, church is kind of, you know, 1 hour long. Now, if you have a one-hour service, it's awesome. I'm not complaining. But it was almost like, you know, a 20-minute worship. And then you have your, you know, little announcements and offering and, you know, just a quick message. And everybody goes back home to normal. So, and we were kind of shocked about that because that was not what we were used to. We were not gathering around sermons. We were gathering around the presence of God. We didn't come to church just to encounter one another. We came to church to encounter Jesus. And so we had to have a culture shift in our mind. And how can we work with the people that we have and bring them to a place where we can put the presence of God at the center? And so that was kind of the journey that we were on as, you know, a family. We planted a church 5 years ago, and today I think we have grown to over 450 some people. And you know, it's been a journey of trying to retrain people and reshift the culture where things are not about gatherings, but things are about the presence. But I want to kind of, in the introduction, share a couple of statistics of what God is doing in international church. And then I kind of want to bring an understanding what we kind of see what is happening in an American church. And then I want to bring it back in how we can, you know, build a presence focused church. Now, number one, I think we have to understand that God is doing awesome things around the world. Yeah. Amazing things. I've been to over 46 some nations, and there's an outstanding demonstration of God's glory upon the earth today. Like some of the things that are happening, is there is actually revival in different parts of the earth. We've seen it. We have heard about it. But, you know, the global Christian growth, the church, as it is expanding, it's fascinating to know that there are more Christians alive today than ever before in church history. Number one, right now, there are more Christians alive today than ever in the church history. And also, one-third of Muslims, I come from a Muslim background, born in Iran, raised up in a Muslim home. My mom, at the point of suicide, encountered Jesus, so I come from a Muslim background. But one-third of Muslims on the earth have seen Jesus in an eyewitness appearing or a dream. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Wow.
One-third of Muslims. The fastest growing church we can find today is actually in the world, in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Iran, that's where I'm from.
Wow.
Fastest growing church today is
wow.
in the eighth most persecuted nation when it relates to Christianity. Now, conversions around the world. In Latin America, 35,000 people are born again every day, every single day. China, 28,000 people born again every day. Indonesia, 1 million people are born again each year. And in India, 85 million believers every year. Isn't that crazy? That means that there's over 150,000 new converts every month in the nation of India. 7,000 churches in Seoul, Korea, with 40% of the city being born again. 7,000 churches. Now, more conversions in Iran. This is a very interesting fact. In the past decade, so in the past 10 years, more conversion in Iran than in the last thousands of years. Just think about it. More conversions in the last decade than what we have seen in the last 1,000 years. And by 2050, there will be as many African Christians alive as total Christians alive right now by 2050. Because it's amazing. The harvest. And next week I will be in Zimbabwe for two crusades. And it is absolutely amazing to watch the hunger and really the Africans pursuing Jesus and what God is doing in that continent. And by the way, Africa is the youngest continent on the face of the planet. Youngest continent. So it's amazing what God is doing there. 700 million Pentecostals and charismatic believers globally alive now. 700, and hopefully tongue speaking. I mean, if you don't speak in tongues, that's totally fine. But I love speaking in tongues. But, you know, there are so many spirit-filled, tongue-speaking believers on the face of the planet, and God is moving in Jesus' name. So, but what is the difference between the global move of God and what is happening in America? Because we came from an African context, and then we moved to the U.S. And once again, you know, I love the West. I have a thought speaking to the West, because even though I'm a native Iranian, I was raised up most of my life in a nation called Sweden, which is at the northern part of Europe, in Scandinavia. So and I'm also married a European. So I understand the West, and I understand the culture, and there's many treasures and beauty. But I believe that what God is doing overseas is not just something that He's doing in Africa or in Central America or in Asia. He wants to do it right here in the United States of America. So what is the difference between the global move of God and what is happening in America today? I personally believe with one statement that the difference is the presence of God. The presence of God is the difference. So God is continuing the book of Acts globally. Do you believe that?
Yes.
He's continuing the book of Acts globally. Now, this is what I have seen, though. And this is, you know, I just want to say it with love. I believe the American church has exchanged the presence and the power for programs and presentations. We have changed the presence and the power of God for programs and presentations. In other words, what do I mean with programs? You know, when we came to Canton, Ohio, we were dealing with a culture that was just used to having so much activity in the church. And you had to keep people busy and occupied with different programs. But there was never a moment where people just stopped and said, let's make room for the presence of God. And if you didn't have the machine running, people could not stop and kind of understand, like, what's the difference between program and actually the presence and the power of the Lord. And the presentation, of course, you know, I love the light. I'd rather have the real glory, the real smoke filling the temple. But, you know, I don't mind smoke machines. I've done a lot of conferences, and with this great light, smoke presentation, and there is a good show taking place. But sometimes that has become a replacement, I believe, for the presence and the power of Jesus. Because if you go to some of the most closed nations, some of the most nations that don't have the luxury we have in the West, they don't have maybe the activity, the infrastructure, the excellence that we have in the West, but what they do carry is the presence and the power of the Lord. Now, I believe that in the West, that many times we are building our movements not around the presence. Overseas, many, and I'm not saying that's every movement in the U.S. I know Dove, we center God around the presence and what the movement around the presence. But I believe that, you know, many movements and churches in the West are building not around His presence, but around His absence. Around His absence. That's why we have activity in the church, but we don't have much transformation. Now, I want to read something, and I'm going to kind of share why I believe the presence is important. The importance of God's presence in our lives and in our churches cannot be overstated. I keep on saying this is a broken record back home in our church, Identity Church, and I keep on saying to them that what changed my life is the presence of God. And you know what I've recognized? That a leader or a pastor cannot bring its member or the flock to a place they have never journeyed themselves. Yeah. And so what we're seeing that many times that there is a lack of encounters in the church, yeah. And because there's a lack of encounter and intimacy with Jesus, so now we who are behind the pulpit are bringing people into an encounter with programs and activity and not with the presence of God. But we cannot stop talking about the presence of Jesus in our churches. Now, there are different types of God's presence that we can experience. And this is something that Merle told me to really touch on. And I want us to know, because I think in the church, you know, we do the same thing with prayer. Like when we talk about prayer, we kind of, you know, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, prayer with all manners of prayer. So we know there's different kinds of prayer. Spiritual warfare, speaking in tongues, supplication. Waiting on God is a type and a form of prayer, practicing the presence of God. So we know there are different times and seasons where God has equipped the church to do all manners of prayer. But what happens is that we place all in a bowl like a fruit salad and we call them prayer. In the same way, I believe that we have cheapened the presence of God by our phraseology. Is that good English?
Yeah.
Phraseology. You get my English? Good. So there is the omnipresence of God. The omnipresence of God simply means that God is everywhere. I'm thankful that God was everywhere when I got born again, because I was not hanging around in churches. I was in the clubs and I was in the bars. And that is the place where I believe the presence of God was. Now, some people will say, I don't believe that. I never forget one time I was so high in this club, not born again, praying mother. And I'm standing there in this club and I'm totally aware of this presence entering in. I mean, it's like I became totally clear in my mind. And suddenly a stranger walked up to me. He was actually the janitor of that club. His name was Caesar. Never met the guy. I didn't know who he was. But he walked up to me in front of everybody and said, young man, I'm praying for you in the basement right now because there's a calling upon your life and there's somebody praying for you. Now that's the presence of God, the omnipresence of God who was in that club, because God is present everywhere. This is what David said in Psalm 137. Where can I flee from your presence? So we know that God's presence is everywhere at all times. We also have, and I love this one, the manifest presence of Jesus. How many of you love the manifest presence of Jesus? See, I want to tell you that the one thing that makes a difference, God is everywhere at all time, and I believe as believers, we all have access to the presence of God. because Jesus made it available for us when his flesh was torn, and by grace he gave us access to boldly step into the throne of grace. But there is something different when God manifests himself. Even though God is everywhere, mm-hmm. he doesn't manifest himself yeah. everywhere. Mm-hmm. So there is a manifest presence of God, which is his presence that is very focused, is very central, and is actually tangible, the manifest presence of God.
Yeah.
But I believe also there is a cultivated presence, and I want to touch on that a little bit. Cultivate presence of God, which means that there is a presence that can be cultivated mm-hmm. from the omnipresence mm-hmm. to the manifest presence. Mm-hmm. James said, draw yourself near unto God, mm-hmm. and he will draw himself near unto you. Mm-hmm. So there are things we can do in our churches as leaders right. that can actually cultivate a place for the presence of God to dwell, but not only to visit, but ultimately to be a habitation of a place of rest where the Spirit of God can come in and feel welcome, and not just as an outsider or someone who's been used on a Sunday to accomplish a task, but somebody who's been host because he's valued more than anyone else and everything else in our midst. Mm-hmm. Now, when we started a church, you know, my wife, we didn't have a worship leader, so my wife is self-taught in playing guitar and singing, and she said, you know, like, I will take the job. I will do it. And for almost 2.5 years, and today we have several worship teams and 3 worship leaders, and she gives direction to that. But when we started to lead worship, we started to say, like, listen, like, we cannot just come in and sing a couple of songs because we got to cultivate the presence.
Yeah.
It's not about 2 fast songs and 2 slow songs. It's not about doing our gymnastics in the morning and just say we did it. It's really about coming into the place of worship
yeah.
and lifting up the name of Jesus. Really yeah. praising him and making room for his Spirit, and by that ministering back to his heart. So we had to reshift the culture because we noticed that some of the worship people we were getting from other churches that was, you know, when you plant the church, you don't always get new people. You get, I call them church hoppers, not grasshoppers, but church hoppers, you know.
Yeah.
And be careful of church hoppers, because when you say something, they might hop to the next church, you know. So you want to have pillars, not caterpillars. You want to have bricks in your church. And, you know, but Larry always says to me, Kevin, God sends different people. Some people are bricks and some people are scaffolding, and appreciate everyone and love everyone. But we noticed that a lot of songs that we were singing was about us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I call them radio songs. Like, I love listening to them in my car.
Yeah.
I'm driving down the road and I'm just, oh, how much he loves me.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
I'm the apple of his eyes. And, you know, he has a call for me. And,
yeah, yeah.
and I love hearing that.
Yeah.
But we said that when we put our song list together and worship set, it's not so much about us being the center of that worship experience, which I believe it's us experiencing him,
yeah.
but it's really about lifting up the very nature and the character of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
So we said to the people, listen, when we come here and we're going to sing songs, it's not so much about you singing something and drawing near unto him with your lips
mm-hmm.
and that your heart is far away from him, because Jesus said that's vain worship,
yeah.
but it's about you coming and your heart and your lips connecting together and you're giving him what is due to his name. So we said, you are not a spectator. You are a participator.
Yeah.
Because if you want to cultivate the omnipresence, to manifest presence, it's not just about the worship team.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the whole church.
That's right, yeah.
Do you know why we feel the presence of God in the service, like in the sessions we do?
Mm-hmm.
It's because people are not standing there with a coffee in their hands and looking at their watch, waiting to the next program, but it's actually a host of people
yeah.
hungry for God,
yeah.
pursuing his presence, running after his face, and from that place
yeah.
cultivating environment where he is pleased to dwell.
Yeah.
It's a
right.
presence focus culture. So cultivating the presence of God, and by doing that, we said to all of our departments, women's department, men's department, young adults, youth, kids ministry. We said, no matter, even when we have a picnic and we fellowship with one another, we said, you need to be centered around God's presence. Be intentional about being conscious of God and not only conscious of yourself. So, you know, we know that God is everywhere, but remember, we need to and must cultivate an environment where we are constantly aware of His manifest presence. I heard somebody say that, because, you know, we do a lot of prayer meetings in our church. Like, prayer is like at the core of our church. We have a slogan. We say we're not a playing church. We are a praying church. We always say we're not a playing church. We are a praying church. When prayer goes up, kingdom comes down. But, you know, I was raised up in a Muslim home. We prayed 5 times a day. Jews pray 3 times a day. So if prayer would make a difference by itself, then prayer would be the answer. But how many of you know prayer is the answer? It is the weapon God has given us. But really, at the core of it, prayer without the presence of Jesus is absolutely meaningless. Can you agree with that? So we need to have the presence of God even in our prayer meetings. And that means that we got to be conscious of His presence even when we are praying. So now this requires seeking an intimate relationship with Him, spending a lot of time in the Word and prayer as leaders. Now I'm talking to a room, you know, that are full of leaders. And I think as leaders, we get so occupied with so many responsibilities, and sometimes we try to do so much that we forget to delegate, and we compromise that whole Acts 6 to give ourselves continuously to the ministry of the Word and prayer. Why is that important? Because when we give ourselves continuously to that, we as leaders, we become, number one, carriers of His presence, and now we become leaders who lead by example. We cannot tell our churches and the people that attend our gatherings to be conscious of the presence if that is not something that is our number one priority, language, and pursuit. So it's important to pursue an intimate relationship with Him, spending a lot of time with Him in prayer, taking time to seek His presence in our lives and in our church. Me and my wife always say something to each other. I said, honey, if you want to spend time with Jesus, I will never stop you. Never stop you. And she knows that if I want to spend time with Jesus, she will never stop me. And so within the church, we teach that to the people, to put that at the forefront and make sure that intimacy and relationship with Jesus will be the number one priority. Because Jesus said, if you seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Yeah. Now, as a pastor and leaders, we must be with Him continuously and pursue an intimate relationship with Him. In doing so, we can develop an environment that is conducive to growth and invites God's manifest presence. Now, revival is a movement of God that produces extraordinary results. While we cannot produce revival on our own, and trust me, I tried that many times, and I noticed that the Son can do nothing of Himself. So you got to apply John 15 to abide. We cannot get any extraordinary result without the presence of God, and we cannot produce revival on our own self, but we can sow the seed of His Word into our hearts and pray for Him to move in an extraordinary way. We are, like I said, a praying church and not a playing church. In our church family, we had a lot of people that told us that we need to kind of bring in a lot of different activities. And I want to encourage you as leaders that it's okay to say no. You don't have to compromise the God-given mandate and the vision. And many times we compromise God Himself for the sake of pleasing the people. So we need to be very comfortable with of staying intact with what God has said, which I believe should be the mission and the very foundation of the church, which is Christ, and it should be built upon His presence and His presence alone. So we had to shut down a lot of activities and a lot of playing that was taking place in the church, and said that we're going to focus on prayer and worship and the Word of God. Of course, we're going to do picnic and activities, and we're going to have fun. But our hearts primarily is that when we come together corporately, is to pursue His face. Now, I want to just say this lastly. We're going to go into a time of Q&A. Now, if we have Him, we have all we need and more. That's how simple it is. Not complicated at all. If we have Jesus, we have Him and much more. And as we pursue His presence and seek His glory in all that we do, we can build a church where God is pleased to dwell. We must do everything necessary, pay any price, to build a culture that seeks above all else the presence and the glory of God continuously. By seeking His presence in our gatherings, we can increase our production of fruit. Remember, fruit is by abiding, not by striving. We create that by abiding in His presence, and as we do that, we can actually create a place where we can be like Moses, who said, "We refuse to go on from here if Your presence does not go with us." Now, when we planted our church in Canton, Ohio, I didn't have any budget. I don't know if that's recommended. I didn't have any pastoral experience. None. No Bible school in the sense of theology. But one thing we did have, and one thing we do have, is that we never stopped seeking the presence of God. And if you would come to our church, we're not perfect. You know, we get issues like anyone else has issues. Nobody's perfect. But it's amazing to watch a culture from coming in on a Sunday and kind of observing with hands in the pocket and drinking their coffee and looking around. You know, is the five songs is going to finish quickly so I can hear the message and go home. Now we have come to a place where actually there's a host of people coming together on a Sunday morning, pursuing the face of God and making Jesus at the center of everything that they do. And that overflow of the presence of God is being brought homes, invading families, and we have seen tremendous transformation. Just two testimonies I want to share with you that is happening in the church just by cultivating the presence. You know, when Jesus walks into a room, healing takes place? Lives being transformed. We had one lady last Sunday that testified in December. She was declared to have bone cancer. Bone cancer. Feeling absolutely devastating, no hope, as Steve was kind of sharing in the session up there. And she came and we did an altar call in the end, and you know, we were praying for people, and not necessarily for sickness. But she said, as she was standing there, and she thought, "I'm not going to go forward, but I'm going to reach and touch the hem of His garment, like in Mark 5, because I believe the presence of God is ministering to me, and I believe I'm going to get healed." Went to the doctor on Wednesday, and the doctor said, "You are cancer free." Came back to church, declared that she was... This is in Canton, Ohio. Yeah. I'm not talking about a crusade in Africa. Yeah. We see this all the time. This is happening in the U.S. Yeah. I have an x-ray that I don't... There's no way for me to show you. Another lady walked in, one of our worship people that is part of the team. She was riding a horse and she broke her foot. Broke the foot. I mean, if you would see the x-ray, you can see that as the bone was healing, they were healing totally crooked. And so they said, it is impossible, she needs a surgery. If I would show you, I have the picture. If I would show you, I mean, what happened was, she came for prayer, they brought her up to the front, and I prayed the most pathetic prayer. How many of you know it's not about you? Yeah. Most pathetic, I was like, "Lord, I pray for a creative miracle." That's all I said, and I moved on. Because when I looked at her, I was like, "Man, this looks impossible." But the presence of God was there. She started to weep. I was like, "I don't even know what she's weeping about." I didn't say anything special, but she was ministered to by the Spirit of God. On Monday, she went to the doctor again. They did a scan on her foot. You will see on the scan, literally, it's like she has brand new bones in her foot. It's absolutely amazing. Brand new bone in her foot. Why? Because the presence of God invaded the service. And it was not so much about how articulate you are, how amazing your program is. It's not no longer about the presentation or the activity and what kind of tea and coffee you serve after church. It was not any of this. It's about Jesus being at the center of our gathering and as we're trying to pursue that. And with that, people would come and go, but those who are called to a culture like that, those who really want to walk in the presence of God, they'll be attracted to your gatherings, and you can really build and allow God to establish His kingdom in your midst. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Now, I want to pray for impartation, but I want to just open up for Q&As. How long is this session, by the way? 3 o'clock? Okay, good. So let's do Q&As. I love Q&As. And you can make it as practical as possible. Remember, there's no, like, think within either your private, family, or, of course, it is focused on the church itself. But ask as practical questions. There's no dumb questions. The hard part is on my side. And hopefully the Spirit of God can lead me in answering. Any questions? Yes, sir. Very good, very good. So the question was, does fasting correlate with building a presence-focused church? Absolutely. I mean, I believe, once again, fasting, you know, like we don't twist God's arm. Like fasting doesn't change God, it changes us. And what fasting does, it doesn't, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, it's like this comes only out by prayer and fasting in regards to, you know, the little child will deafen dumb spirit. It's not that we get more authority, but really God deals with the unbelief in our hearts. Yeah. And so for me, in simplest form of fasting is denying the flesh in order to feed the spirit man. So we take time as a church family, which probably many of your churches do at the beginning of the year, to give ourselves to prayer and fasting. But we have also said that we don't just want to do that, you know, like, last 21 days we're going to pray and fast, and then we're going to just eat the whole rest of the year. Not only fasting, I do love feasting, but we wanted to do like a lifestyle of fasting. So we actually as a church have implemented once a month where we do like a corporate day of fast. We come together, we have different slots of prayer that the members can come in. And those moments many times are just sitting in silence. We fast. And then we wait on God. So watching and praying. And so in those moments, we have found that just by denying the flesh, feeding the Spirit with the Word of God, and then sitting still in His presence, be still and know that I'm God. I believe that many times our busyness of working ourselves out of the presence of God. I've met people, they literally pray themselves out of the presence. I believe praying is good, but when the presence comes, we have to learn to soak. We have to learn to receive, which receiving is a hard part. And so we have really implemented fasting in our church family without putting condemnation. Because, you know, there's some people that have medical issues and some people cannot, like, we have even said this to people. Don't just think food fasting. What about soul fasting? Social media. It's a big thing. I call it soul fasting. So it can be soul fasting, of course, biblical fasting, abstaining from food. But that has been a great tool. And I want to encourage you, when you do fast and you want to come close to the presence, normally when you fast, you don't feel much presence. Yeah. It's weird how that works. Yeah. You feel so dry. And then when you end your fasting, I mean, if it's a short one, you can end with a burger. But if it's a longer one, use wisdom. But it's like when you take your first bite, it's like heaven on earth, you know? But I don't know, it's not just because I'm getting food in my belly, but it's almost like you come into a breakthrough. So I always say that breakthrough, you know, sometimes it's reserved even at the end of the fasting. So don't give up, pursue. You might feel dry, but even though you don't feel anything, it doesn't mean that God is not doing anything. So prayer and fasting is combined. It's never just fasting, and it's never just praying. It's prayer with fasting. And really in the new covenant is them ministering unto the Lord. So our prayer and fasting in our church is ministering unto the Lord like the church in Antioch. So, yeah. Good question. Thank you. Anything more? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir?
Yeah. So when you started, when you planted a church, what would you say was the first or what was the important thing that you did to cultivate this presence? Cultivate this.
I mean, the most important was a year before we planted the church, we started a prayer meeting.
Okay.
Our church started with prayer and worship meeting.
Yeah.
And the only meeting in our church that never shuts down. Anything in shut, like we have like a break in the summer, no women's ministry, no men's ministry. And then what we do like this summer, we're shutting down the church, like the activities from May to August, because what we are doing is that we're going to get together prayer and worship, and then we're going to hit the city with evangelism. Because we don't just want to pray for the harvest.
Yeah.
We want to go out and reach the harvest.
Yeah.
But prayer meeting is the only meeting that never, never shuts down. During the pandemic, mm-hmm. we were closed for a couple of weeks, but our prayer meeting never shut down.
Mm-hmm.
We can compromise anything. We don't compromise prayer because we believe that prayer is the lifeline of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if my brother always says a statement, he says, if we only pray when we are in trouble, we are truly in trouble. And I think what happens, which is like the book of Judges, you know, they only turn back to God. Like what happened in this country in 9/11.
Mm.
Unfortunate situation, but every church was packed and everyone had prayer meeting.
Yeah.
But then, you know, what is happening today?
Mm.
So we want to say to God, we don't just want to, like if anyone is suffering, James said, let him pray. But we don't want to just pray when we are suffering.
Yeah.
You know, we want that to be part of our lives. And you know, the least, and Leonard Ravenhill, powerful man of God, he's gone to be with the Lord, but he says that the least attended prayer meeting in the church is, the less attended meeting in the church
yeah.
is the prayer meeting.
Yeah.
So when we started our prayer meeting, we were like 5 people. I mean, now we probably get, you know, 60, 70 people on the prayer meeting coming in. But in the beginning, it was like me and a couple of people, and we decided numbers, you know, God can show up even when there's not many numbers. Like, he's looking for hunger.
Yeah.
You know, if you're hungry for God, God can, he can bypass millions of people to get to you because you have a desire for his presence, hunger for him and for his presence alone. So prayer meeting, that will be my number one. But not just praying for the sake of praying.
Yeah.
I heard a man of God who has started a great prayer movement in the church. In our days, you know, he said, my greatest fear is with our organization that the one thing we least do is actually pray.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a 24/7 prayer movement.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, being in a prayer meeting means to connect with the presence of God.
Yeah.
So we come together to make room for his presence,
mm-hmm.
not to have like a 10 list, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I want to pray for Sister Sally and, you know, for Brother Johnny's dog over there. And that's awesome. But it's really to minister to him.
Yeah.
And him alone, and then from that place, as the presence of him come, we present our needs unto him. So,
mm-hmm.
so don't compromise prayer. Very good, thank you.
Good.
Anyone more? I heard somebody on that side.
I didn't have a question so much, just to say, but my husband and I run a small church in Barbados, and we had felt very dry for a long time, even before COVID. COVID made it worse, and we knew that we were lacking ministering in the gifts of the Spirit. And I mean, totally, no tongues, no prophetic, no healing, no just coming and going through the program, right? And so we began to pray and say, Lord, please, and began to petition heaven, please, we need your presence, show us what to do. So God worked it out, and a brother and his wife that we knew from YWAM in Germany that are just gifted at hosting his presence came to our church. And they ran a school of his presence for 3 weeks in January, just gone.
That's
and
awesome.
Revival hit our church.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it's not to say that we are perfect, like you said. There's still, you know, but the celebration services on a Sunday now are free.
Yeah.
There is prophetic. Sometimes we don't even get to preach the message.
That's awesome. That's
because,
awesome.
You know,
that's awesome.
And I think what it was that when he came, he wove together worship, true worship, like
yeah.
said, focusing on him, not,
that's right.
oh,
no.
God loves me, and he's a friend, I'm a friend of God, not that. But the focus on God's worship,
beautiful.
Music, the prophetic, and prayer, all three
beautiful.
Together, woven together at the same time.
Beautiful.
And people began to receive encounter. They began to receive revelation of his love for me personally. And that cracked it. I mean, that brought such healing.
That's awesome.
People to encounter his personal love for each individual. In
that's
that
awesome. Community. Love it. And you know, I think it's a great idea that maybe,
yeah.
you know, there are people out there whom you can also pull in,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they did. This, you know, YWAM couple from Germany who was a tremendous blessing to the church. So that's a great thing to do, pull people in. But it's, you know, like you become conscious of that which you pay attention to. Like, and I really, you know how, like Bill Johnson says it, I love the way he says it. He said, the one thing that keeps you, like, out from an open heaven is between your shoulders. Like, it's our mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think when we are intentional about God's presence, and we focus, like, one of our values, number one value, is that Jesus is the center, which means that it's all about Him and His presence. And so when you make that the center, I mean, of course He's going to manifest Himself. It's like, you know, I sometimes say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in our church. And I get people say to me, like, what do you mean He's welcome? He's already here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm Middle Eastern. Yeah. Like, if you come into my home, even though you stand in my house, you walked in from the door, you come in, as a sign of hospitality, mm-hmm. I will say to you, like, Mariela, like, you are welcome in this house. I will make you feel welcome. I'm not, you know, like, I do you need something? I will attend to you because that's a ministry of hospitality.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's not so much about He's not here. Of course He's here. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's an acknowledgement. And the more you acknowledge Him in your meetings, the more you make room for Him, the more you put Him at the center of the attention in your songs, in your preaching. It's Christ-centered. In everything that you do, of course He's going to show up His muscles and He's going to actually manifest His presence more in your midst. You know, because none of us like to be ignored.
Yeah, right.
You know, have you ever had a conversation with someone and they're just busy looking at their phone?
Oh, okay.
It's like, go ahead. Absolutely.
And, of course, you're not perfect, but, you know, how do we, you can't have that 2-hour, 3-hour long alone time with God every day kind of thing, but when you're, you know,
yeah.
But how do you try to zone in that zone, you know, because people who are in ministry, it's full-time ministry of themselves, say, clapping, it's your job, open that door a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know all about it. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's all different sorts of things. Yeah. And you find the enemy really tests you. And
yes.
And I guess it's more the test of leadership, right?
Yes.
But you also, my ministry is to the world every day. My work is in fact life as well, apart from church and family. So, you know, it's like, what are the practical steps?
It's good.
Practicing His presence daily.
Absolutely. I think, you know, practicing His presence daily for us individually, you know, like, the downfall is us. I understand you work in a secular job, and you have your set of challenges. But like us who are like in ministry in the sense of like full time, like we can become familiar with God because we do it all the time. And I think when we become familiar with the presence of God, that's one danger that we can as ministers. You know, it's like, I mean, like we can literally switch on the light in the machine and it's just going to be there. I'm going to function. Like, I can rock up behind the pulpit and just preach a sermon and it's going to be there. And so you can grow familiar with God. But in your case, like, because I've had jobs, like, in the world, and I loved it, by the way. I love being around worldly people, got to be honest with you. So I don't mind it at all because... That's awesome. That's awesome. So you pick up a lot of stuff from people.
I pick up a lot of stuff, but then I get really direct. So sometimes I just talk to you about it.
That's fine. God wired you like that.
See,
yeah.
I can see things, you know, on way ahead, and then my mouth gets me in trouble, and I don't know what
yes,
to do.
Yes. You know, when it comes to practicing the presence of God, this is something that's been helpful for me. Is from Colossians chapter 3. And from verse 1, it says, you know, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now, set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So, whether you are in ministry or not, I think the greatest challenge is to develop a God consciousness. And to develop a God consciousness means that you need to set your mind. It doesn't say, you know, this is only for people in ministry. It relates to anyone who have died and been raised with Christ. So I think, you know, find every moment, every pocket of time that you can get to set your mind on things above and practice His presence. Like when I worked, like I was so hungry for God that every lunch break I had for a season of time, I didn't spend time eating. I mean, I can survive without a lunch. But that would be taken at my workplace. It was taken to spend that, you know, half an hour of time, you know, spending that time in the presence of God. Or it was more sometimes eating quickly and running away and having that time with Him. Some people say it's not about a set time, but it's about just practicing God's presence. I don't believe in that. Because Jesus withdrew Himself often. Yeah. Often, Mark said. So in order for you to be God conscious throughout the day, you need to prioritize Jesus, especially in the mornings. And you cannot compromise that time. And so it's hard because, like I know we're living in a very distracted time, social media. Like, have you ever found, like, you want to go spend time with Jesus, and you know how Jesus said, watch and pray?
Yeah.
But He didn't say, look at your watch and pray. You know, so like, you know, instead of looking into the face of Jesus, we look at Facebook. Like, have you been there?
Yeah.
And as soon as you're going to spend time with God, like, something will always happen.
Yeah.
Your phone rings, baby screaming, or whatever. There's always something, because the devil knows that if he can get you out of that place of being conscious of His presence, he is victorious. So it comes down to discipline. It comes down to priorities. It comes down to first love and not growing familiar like the church in Ephesus. And it comes down to really get rid of excuses, because I get a lot of them, and just say, man, like, Lord, I pray this often. I don't know how to do this. But Holy Spirit, You are my teacher. You're the one who can help me and dry me. Draw me into God's presence and help me throughout the day. And it's amazing. 2 days later, I'm like, I feel like I'm in the glory. I'm like sitting in the car, thinking about pizza, and the presence of God comes in, and I'm like, oh man, I didn't even think about the Lord. But it was like His presence just invading the car, and He just wanted to bless me because I prayed earlier, help me. And so it's not me trying to always remember Him, but now He within me reminds me of His presence.
Yeah.
And so you work together. So intimacy is powerful, and you can do it, you know. And you know, and if you get busy in your mind when you spend time with Jesus, whether it's in corporate or private, write stuff down, you know. Like, and if your mind wanders, how many minds take a walk when you pray?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Some of you, your mind is walking like mine. And my mind is like a, like it's, it needs Jesus. Like I'm telling you, like, it just goes everywhere. You know, I think ideas and visions, and then I get mad. You know, like my mind is everywhere. But I've learned something that in the beginning I will be in God's presence, and I'm like, I'm going to spend, you know, like an hour, solid hour with Jesus, and I'm going to practice His presence. So, you know, I sit down, I put on some instrumental to just help me, and I sit down and on my couch, and I'm like, Lord, I'm here now. And then like 10 minutes later, I've been thinking about all the work in the church.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I used to feel so guilty about it. But then you know what I did? I started to write stuff down. Kevin, make sure to do this and make sure to do that. Sorry, Lord, and bring my mind right back. So now, listen, your mind, which is the greatest hindrance to the presence of God, your mind is an amazing servant, but a horrible master. So you need to learn to control the mind and bring it under subjection to the cross of Jesus. And as your mind is wandering, you can bring it back and put it back on the Lord again, and by it practice His presence. Because I promise you, you are the one who leaves the presence. God never left. He never leaves. We leave. One time I was in such a glory, And my youngest brother was calling me. And I said, what do you want? I'm praying. He was like, you want to come out? We're going to go eat and have some fun. I said, no. I said, I'm praying. I hung up the phone. About 20 minutes later, ring. I said, Alex, what is it? He said, you want to come out? I said, I told you. I'm in my closet. I'm on the mountain. I'm praying. And so I hang up the phone again. And then half an hour later, it's a knock on the door. And by this time, I've been probably 4 hours soaking up the glory of God. When I stood up from my chair, I was so drunk, like so heavy with the glory of God, that I stumbled to the door, literally. Like I was like half dizzy. And I opened up the door, totally drunk. And I saw my brother. Everything just left. I was totally clear. What do you want? Now I was suddenly angry. I was in the flesh, straight in the flesh. And he's like, why are you not answering? I'm like, I told you twice. I cannot come. I'm praying. I'm with Jesus. Why don't you go and eat yourself? He was like, okay. So he closed the door. And I went right back. And I lied down. And I was like, where's the glory? Like, where is the truth? Where is the presence? And the Lord said, Kevin, I did not leave. You're the one who left. And I said, how did I leave? He said, with your mind. Mind. So having a God consciousness and setting your mind on things above is important. Think if you come together on a corporate gathering and you're not distracted on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And you can just purely focus on Him and soak up His presence. You know, so it just be intentional about intimacy with Jesus. Publicly and privately. There's an intimacy I have with my wife publicly, and there's an intimacy we have privately. And in the same way, you know, there's a place of intimacy with the Lord that you can share with Him at all places. And He loves that about you. So
yeah.
We can do one or two more questions, and I'm going to pray. Anyone else? Great questions, by the way. Yes, sir. Very good. So now, my wife says that this statement came from Jack Hayford, but I say it came from Larry Kreider. Okay. So the question is, thank you, love. The question is, you know, if you have a, you know, the set of songs and maybe your worship team, and how can you not just thinking about plowing through the songs, but make room for the presence of God? You know, Larry says that the senior elder or the lead pastor is the worship leader of the church.
Yeah.
So we had a whole worship team, amazing gifted people that, you know, like one of them is with us now with her husband, and she's absolutely amazing the way she sings. But what we had to do is that we had to teach them that we are not here to plow through a set list. We had to teach them that it is okay to rest in the gaps that takes place in worship. It is okay when God is touching a song to repeat that song over and over again and milk that song from the presence of God as much as you can. It's not about going through the set list. It's about ministering to His heart. And actually, my wife's going to do tomorrow a whole workshop on working with your worship team and worship leaders, and she's going to teach on it. And I really recommend, if you have a heart for that, that would be a great one to go to. I'm not selling it. I'm just recommending it. But we learn, you know, we have to be actively involved with our worship leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do small groups with them. We do life with our worship team. We even tell them, like, we love Jesus' image. I don't know if anyone, we love Jesus' image.
Yeah.
And we kind of try to, like, you know, read books with them that really, I mean, shows the culture of Identity Church. We tell them, like, what kind of songs. Like, sometimes it seems that you're controlling, but you're not controlling. You're protecting the culture of the church.
Yeah.
And you're protecting the presence.
Yeah.
And if you do it from a culture of love and kindness and that you want to champion your leaders, you have to train them. Because many people that will come, they are so set. Like, we had one guy, Adam, amazing, amazing gifted worship leader. But he came from, like, the ARC model. Nothing against it. Love it. But he was used to, like, he will go through the songs, stop, go to the song, stop, go to the song, stop, and then he was done. So we were like, brother, you got another 20 minutes. But he had already plowed through the whole set list because he was not conscious of the presence and what was going on in the room in a set list at the same time, because sometimes you need to take time to stop and just minister to his heart. So we really make it about not going through the songs. We make the whole worship set about how can you minister to his heart. So then we teach people that worship is not about you. It's about him, to glorify him. And if he's doing something different, it's okay. And we also teach our people that it's okay to do mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like, I do mistakes all the time. Got to be honest with you. I'm totally fine with it. Because if you don't go into areas where there is untread territory as a church, you're never going to do something that would cause a great result. Because you keep on doing the same thing, and of course, expecting different results, and you're not going to get it. So you got to experiment with your people, you know, and teach them the value of even themselves having intimate time with Jesus. Because if they come on that stage and just want to display a gift, it's not going to be a good thing. So I'm at 59. Can we pray?
Yes.
And releasing you guys. But you guys are awesome, by the way. Thank you for all the questions. Sometimes it gets awkward in the room and nobody asks you questions. And I'm like, what should I say now? But you guys went for it. So, Lord Jesus, as we're ending this session, we stop by saying we honor you. We honor your presence, Lord. And Lord, I pray for every pastor and leader, every person who is in this room, who is here because they have a desire for you. Lord, I pray for an impartation of a visitation of your presence in the lives and in the churches. Lord, I pray for one thing that is absolutely everything, that you will be at the center of everything that they do within their local churches and their ministries. Lord, I pray that you will visit them during the night. You will visit them during the mornings. Visit them in visions and dreams. And Lord, I thank you that these precious people whom love you, as they cry out to you, you respond to them by manifesting yourself, as you said in John 14:21. So Lord, I pray for an impartation of a visitation and the manifestation of your glory and power in their lives, families, ministries, churches, and cities, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.